You have a signature vibration that is yours and yours alone. And you came here to be that, right? To vibrate at that frequency and to add your little note to the symphony of the universe, basically. And the more aligned you are with that note, the more in tune with yourself, that deep note that you're meant to be vibrating to the world, the more joy and excitement and flow and passion you can experience in this life. If you've got excitement, if you've got joy, if you've got passion, you're following that note. That's your inner guideline, basically. It's like you're an inner compass towards what it is that you are deeply. When you're doing a QHHT session, you become attuned to that.
Hello and welcome to It's a Journey podcast. How are you healing today? Your host, Stephanie Naidu, welcomes guests from different parts of the globe with professional expertise in health and holistic wellness. Holistic means physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. So what do all of our guests have in common? It's their dedication to help us with our healing journey and personal development. Let's dive into this new episode with our special guest and explore the answers in order to continue our personal journey's exploration towards healing and self-love.
Virginia is a QHHT practitioner and integrative therapist skilled in neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, nonviolent communication, and art therapy. A passion for languages and communication led her to become a tenured professor of English, professional communication, and theater at a medical school. Dissatisfied with traditional mental health treatments, Virginia explored alternative therapies to find joy, serenity, and stability. After discovering effective methods, she sought training to help others benefit from them. Initially teaching these techniques at medical school, she later moved to the countryside to establish her practice. Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique, or QHHT, came as a revelation, and she greatly enjoys seeing people transform through QHHT sessions. Now based in Brittany, France, with her husband and three children, Virginia is dedicated to guiding others toward empowerment and better health. In this 22nd episode, my special guest Virginia and I will explore the Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique, QHHT. Today's topic is harnessing inner knowledge for healing with QHHT. Hello, Virginia. It's such a pleasure to have you today on my podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm really happy to be chatting with you.
So today we're going to talk about QHHT. And your journey is fascinating because it's very rich and very well-rounded. So you are a QHHT practitioner. You are a certified NLP life coach, an art therapist, and a teacher. What was your journey?
Yeah, my journey is characterized by two of my diagnoses, because I have a few, and I can't separate my own personal mental health journey from my professional journey. So they go hand in hand. I have ADHD, which gives me a very curious mind and the desire to explore a lot of things, and at the same time, bipolar disorder diagnosis, where I've had phases of hypomania where you have all the energy in the world. And what allowed me to fulfill all of the projects that I have fulfilled and finished everything, because usually with ADHD and bipolar disorder, you don't really finish, is that drive that I have to help anybody. If I find something helpful for me, then I want to help others. And that originally came from this deep-seated belief that has changed since QHHT, that I had to prove that I deserve to live. And so I had to be helpful in a way. And I'm very thankful for this journey, because every time that I learned something and thought, this is absolutely amazing. It's making a world of difference to me. I was able to pass it on. And I feel like not only did I move forward on my journey, but it helped others along the way. So the first thing that helped me and that I always say saved my life was theater, because on stage I felt alive and I felt like it was a beautiful way of being in touch with my emotions in a healthy way and of being able to express and put out there and connect with other people as well through what was actually hard inside. So it's just a magnificent way of transcending your difficulties, really, while connecting to people. And this drive to connect with people, to improve understanding and to go towards better communication, more tolerance, better acceptance of others, is what led me to become a language teacher. So my first career was teaching language and theater, and I taught communication at med school, where there's a great need for more of a humane touch within the professionals themselves, because they are very hard on themselves, doctors, actually, because of perfectionism, etc. So teaching them how to communicate with each other and with themselves to deal with their own emotions and their own perfectionism and the pressure that they put on their shoulders, but also to teach them to communicate with patients and have a better relationship that improves the mental health and the physical health of patients was something that drove me for many, many years. And along that path of teaching to doctors, I ran into neurolinguistic programming, and it helped me help them, basically. At first, I learned it as something to teach them so they would improve their communication with patients and the way that they would help them. But it helped me so much that I had to just use it and pass it along. Because when you train for NLP, all the protocols that they teach, you do on one another to practice. So it's not only a personal revolution to go through the training, it also then allows you to help others. And then I ran into hypnosis, and hypnosis transformed me completely. I really believe that it's the addition of all the things that I explored and went through that allowed me, when I ran into hypnosis, for it to be so effective and for it to really be that final flip of the switch, which means that now I have zero symptoms of bipolar disorder. I'm completely stable. I live with joy and serenity on a daily basis, which is not something I would have ever imagined 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Before we dive into QHHT, which stands for Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique, I'd like to touch on two very personal aspects of your journey, and then you mentioned also some of them that might resonate with our audience and help them feel less isolated. So you mentioned being highly sensitive and having experienced bipolar disorder. Can you share how you ever overcame these challenges and transformed them into strength?
I think that deep down, the reason that I managed to transform them is that I accepted them. And that was the most important lesson, most important gift that was given to me, was accept those manifestations as gifts. And if you see them as gifts, then they will help you grow instead of pull you down. And so that perspective, that belief that if you manifest something, it has a reason to be there. And so if you accept it, then you can honor it. And that's what's going to help you transcend it, transform it into something that's better for you, is really what allowed me to change my perception of something that was very hard and painful into something that ended up being the building blocks to my happiness, right? So for bipolar disorder, for example, there were phases when I had extreme pain, psycho-emotional pain, and it was like screaming to the top of your lungs, falling through darkness and feeling like you're being just ripped open inside. And I had to hide it, I thought, because I didn't feel like it was normal or appreciable, or like I wanted to show that or give that to the world. And so keeping it repressed and in darkness and in secret actually enhanced it, because that scream was telling me, you're not living what you're meant to be living. And the more I repressed it, the harder it screamed at me, right? So when I finally, and it was very hard to do, and it's, I think, the bravest thing somebody can do is open yourself to your darkness, is allow, authorize that part of you that you are scared of to actually fully be there. Once I opened myself to it and went, all right, what do you have for me? Then it became so much easier to work with it. It's like, oh, you don't see me as an enemy anymore. I can be here. I can express myself. Here's what I have to say. And it's like that part of me, the fact that it was seen as being there meant it had the authorization to tell me what I needed to hear. And so I was like, all right, tell me what you got. Basically, this is over months. It's not like,
yeah, you know. I was about to ask, like, how do you come to that point? You know, how long does it take?
You get to that part where the suffering is so intense that the surrender is your only chance. I mean, that's what I did. I'm not going to say you, because everybody's different, but I came to that place where it hurt so bad to live what I was living that it was like, fine. Okay. Let's just surrender and listen and see where that takes me. And the fact that I was listening made it less intense. The fact that I was accepting it made it less intense. And then I had my regression with QHHT, and I found the source of it all. And when I healed the source of it all, I learned what it is that it was trying to teach me. And when I learned what it is, what it was trying to teach me, it went away. and so the evening of visiting that past life, because with QHHT, you go visit past lives. That's what we understand. If people don't believe in past lives, they can just see it as like a symbolic dream, whatever, however you want to see it. But I had an experience as though a dream, which I interpret to be a past life. And that night I had huge release. And since that day, and it's really a day and night thing, I was able to sleep. Because I had insomnia for years and years and years and years, for about 30 years, actually. since then, I've had zero manifestations of bipolar disorder. So it was getting to the core element of the trauma that happened, mm-hmm. learning what that trauma was trying to teach me, and then completely accepting that teaching is what it is that allowed me to transcend it. So, but it all comes down to, in what way can it be a gift? What do you have to teach me? Thing that is uncomfortable. And if you welcome it that way, you grow from it and you learn so much faster. If something happened, I used to have a huge reaction and suffer from it for months. And now I'm like, okay, reaction, not huge, normal human reaction. And then what is it trying to teach me? And it's very fast now. And the more you practice, the faster it becomes and the easier it becomes to ride life. It doesn't mean that everything is rosy and pink all the time. It just means that when something shows up, you welcome it in a way that allows you to grow from it faster and faster and faster. And so it's easier to ride the waves.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of like a universal rule. This is true for me as well. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, super. Thank you. So today we're going to look at QHHT, you know, in this conversation. So can you briefly explain what is QHHT? And also, so it's clear for everyone, can you please explain the difference between hypnotherapy, hypnosis, QHHT, and regression?
Yeah, sure. So the easiest one to start with is hypnosis. Hypnosis is a state of relaxation where you just relax and look within. And that state of hypnosis can be used for many different things. It can be used for the stage, and that's what scares people because they feel like they're going to be manipulated. But that's just show, right? It's not hypnotherapy, where you use that state of relaxation and looking inwards for therapy. So to help people go towards a better state of mental health, right? So that's hypnosis and hypnotherapy. Regression is where you use that state of relaxation to help the person go back in time. So to revisit some memories and see what it is that happened in those moments that, you know, impacted you to explain where you're at now. I mean, it can also be used for by the police. The police use regression hypnosis to help people go back in time to a traumatic event so that they can see the face of their attacker, things like that. So it's just this idea of relaxing your conscious mind that puts filters on to allow you to work on a daily basis, to relax that mind enough to go back to the recesses of your memory and your deep intelligence to find information back and back and back in time. So that's regression. It can go all the way back to a past life. So past life regression is going and visiting a past life. QHHT is the use of hypnosis, so that state of relaxation, to go back in time and space, but there is no time and space, so the back doesn't really mean anything anymore, mm-hmm. to the source of what it is that is impacting you right now. And that source could be in a past scene in this life. It could be in your mother's belly. It could be in a past life in a way that we traditionally understand it, or it could be in a parallel dimension. It could be in a future perception of reality. It could be on that plane that is between life and death, between incarnations within the time space illusion that we're in. I'm talking about concepts that are completely out there, but this is what QHHT is all about. And the reason why it's called quantum healing hypnosis technique is that this technique, which uses hypnosis to go to the source of trauma, unlock it, and help people heal, can only be conceived if you use quantum physics elements, because quantum physics does tell us that there is, for example, entanglement, where particles that are split and in very different places, if they come from the same place, right, react in the same way at the same time in like miles and miles and miles apart. That entanglement can allow to understand how it's possible for our consciousness to go back to a different time and place and to perceive what it is that happened at that other time and place. So it kind of blows the mind when you think about it.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
It is mind-bending to the extreme. And it was funded by Dolores Cannon, who is a pioneer in regression hypnosis and initially helped people to go to past lives to target the source of their difficulties, learn from it, and disentangle this life from that one, right? To be like, leave that one in the past, learn what we have to learn from it, and now focus on this life and heal from the experience. And as she was doing that, she stumbled upon what she called the subconscious, which is has many different names. Some people call it the oversoul. Some people call it the universal consciousness. It's just this vibration, really. It's the frequency that is within everything. Some people call it source as well. That is the seed of all knowledge, all love, and all power. So it's just this energy. And when she worked with it, she noticed instant healings of things that completely defied our understanding. And so she did that as much as she could to help as many people as she could. And at the end of her career, she only worked with terminal patients so that she would help the people in most need of her. And she trained as many people as she could in the technique because she wanted to be able to forward the technique to as many people as possible. And so when she saw that other people got the same results as her, she was like, right, I got to teach this. Let's spread it because it helps so many people.
Mm. So going back to Dolores Cannon,
yeah.
How did she came up with this method? What was her background?
So she was a military wife and she followed her husband around. Her husband was trained in traditional hypnosis and hypnotherapy, which meant that what she was exposed to, initially she was his assistant when he came back from wars and being a military wife and raising her kids. And she just sat in on the sessions and helped him out with like the tapes that they put in and stuff like that. And when he wasn't able to do the work anymore, she pursued it. So initially she was helping people lose weight, stop smoking, all that traditional hypnotherapy that we can hear about. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a lot of books. If you want to know more about her journey, she wrote a lot of books, like 17 or 18, something crazy like that. Nine Lives Remembered. I think it's Nine Lives Remembered. Is it Seven Lives? Five? I don't remember. Five, seven, or nine Lives Remembered is a book that she wrote about how she stumbled upon a patient who, in that state of hypnosis, went to a back life quite accidentally. And she went, what's going on here? And she went to several lifetimes, that initial patient. And Dolores went, this is insane. What is going on? And so trial and error, she stumbled upon more and more people that were going to past lives. And through about 40 years of practice, she honed the technique. And quite accidentally, she stumbled upon the SE, the subconscious source, whatever you want to call it, and wove that in. And she was guided by them to improve her technique, by the subconscious, by that energy that is all knowledge. They told her, do this, do that. So she improved and improved and improved it until it worked.
Mm, okay. Super. And what would be the reason, the instances why people will, you know, need to connect to their subconscious?
Why wouldn't you want to?
I don't know. what are they seeking?
Why wouldn't we want to be connected to the source of all knowledge, all love, and all power? That just, it's not necessarily from a place of needing anything, that you will want to be in full alignment with who you truly are and who you were meant to be. The idea is, and this is the prequel to the answer, the idea is that you have a signature vibration that is yours and yours alone, and you came here to be that. Right? To vibrate at that frequency and to add your little note to the symphony of the universe, basically. And the more aligned you are with that note, the more in tune with yourself, that deep note that you're meant to be vibrating to the world, the more joy and excitement and flow and passion you can experience in this life. If you've got excitement, if you've got joy, if you've got passion, you're following that note. That's your inner guideline, basically. It's like you're an inner compass towards what it is that you are deeply. When you're doing a QHHT session, you become attuned to that. And what is talking through you is the energy of that vibration of what it is you were meant to incarnate, basically. So anybody who's out of tune with that could benefit from a QHHT session. So if you're in disharmony for any reason, then come back into harmony. So if there's a repetitive pattern that annoys you, that keeps happening and is uncomfortable, it means there's a lesson to be learned from it. And it's come back to core, come back to center, come back to self. If you have a physical ailment, Dolores said that the body is a messenger. And if it's sending signals, it means it's trying to get you to pay attention to something that is not in line, that is not in harmony, that is not in tune. So physical ailments could be there as a call to come back into alignment. Most of the people who come see me, because QHHT isn't very well known in France where I practice, are people who are desperate and don't see another alternative. And they've tried it all, is the phrase, right? It's like, I'm very depressed. I have anxiety. I'm at the end of my tether. I don't know what else to do. If this doesn't work, I'm out. That's a lot of the cases I have are people who are so desperate that they're thinking about committing suicide. And they're like, why not try this wacko technique I've never heard before, right? That my friend says worked. So it's word of mouth, basically. And they come to me with great disalignment, right? And they want to come back into alignment. So that's the bulk of the people that I see are people who are suffering greatly and who want to get back towards health, and more often than not, it's mental health. And I think that's because of my journey, because you choose your practitioner according to who you resonate with. And because I've been through a mental health journey, I tend to see a lot of people who are going through a mental health journey. And the other profile that I have are starseeds, are people who recognize themselves in what Dolores has written, who have read her books, and who feel like they want to reconnect with their homes. And for that, you'd have to look into what starseeds are, et cetera. And it's a whole other can of worms of a really long conversation.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So let's be honest here, and then we're going to dive into my session with you, okay? So I have to say that you live in France, and you conduct your work in French and English, right? Just to mention. So we did ours in English. And my session with you has been one of the most astonishing things in my life. Yes, I mean, truly, I was like, what happened? And, you know, because the session has been audio recorded, yeah. You know, each time I listen to it, because this is part of the process, we need to, you know, listen to it several times, even month after. Each time I'm like, oh my God. And the last time I listened to it recently, it was when I was on Compostelle. I was like doing the pilgrimage. And I listened to it. And it was even more powerful because I was on the way, which is like, you know, this path is powerful. And then listening to it is like each time I'm learning something. So, I mean, first of all, the experience was like amazing because that was the first time that I was visiting a past life. I've never did that before. And during the session, when it happened, first I was like, where am I? Where is this space? And I was like, oh, should I step back? Mm-hmm. But then I remember you said that whatever you see, you have to go in. And so I went in and I, you know, I described what I saw and all that. But it was like, I remember now, like everything, all the details and all that. So it was very interesting. Also having my subconscious like speaking, like, you know, through me was something like very hard to describe, like kind of like, you know, amazing experience. So I'm sorry.
You very moved by it. You actually had tears in your eyes when you realized that you were in touch with your subconscious.
Absolutely.
It can be a very moving experience. Yeah.
It can be a very moving experience. It was a very moving and very like, I cannot compare anything to that. There is nothing, you know, one on a kind. Yes. So is it a common feedback that you have from your clients?
Yeah. It's some people get connected to such degrees of love when they're in the session and to such full acceptance of themselves that their faces change. You know, we have a long interview before we do the hypnosis. And during that interview, I get to know the person and they tell me about their lives and their current issues and explain what their questions are so I can ask their questions better for them. And after the hypnosis, when they sit back for the post-talk where we debrief and I ask them to tell me what they remember from the session so it anchors in their minds as much as possible. This is why you remember, is because we talked about it and because you remember, you listen to your recording. People who don't talk about it or listen to their recording, it floats away just like a dream. Mm-hmm. And when we do the post-talk, their face is so different because they've accessed themselves. And it's sort of like, wow, this is who I am. I am love. I am that beautiful light that I've had access to during the session. That's amazing. And their whole face just relaxes. Their whole face relaxes. And it's interesting because it isn't a common feedback, meaning some people who come see me, the starseeds, those that are already aware of the fact that they're connected to their higher selves for some reason, or any person who already has subtle abilities like clairvoyant or clairsentient or clair anything, mm-hmm. when they come see me, they tend to not really be surprised or shocked by the subconscious talking through them, because they're already in touch with the subconscious in such a massive way in a daily basis. Subconscious, that little voice of intuition that sometimes you have that is like, oh, maybe you should put the trash out right now. And then when you don't do it, you're like, oh man, there was the hole and it tore and it put water all over the place or whatever. or, you know, it would be good for you to go to bed now, but I want to play video games. That little voice that is always trying to protect you and care for you and heal you. If you learn to listen to that voice and you come to a session, you're already sort of in tune with it. So it can still, it's still so much more aligned that it can blow your mind to go for a session. But those people go like, it was just me talking. And I'm like, listen again, would you have said that? You know, and look back at that experience that you had, because you have that whole part where for you, it was a past life, but for some other people, it's completely different. It can be knowing what it's like to just be a tree, which is a form of past life if we've gone through everything, or it can be like floating through the universe or feeling like you're part of the weave of the universe. It can be completely mind-boggling experiences. And when you access that and then you come back and are like, this was just me, I'm like, really? Would you have cooked that consciously? Where did it come from? I'm like, ah, yeah, okay, I see what you mean. But definitely the fact that it's a one of a kind thing, and it's it transforms the way you see the world. And then you're like, wow, this is in me. That's a very common feedback. Yeah.
Okay. So during the session, I had images coming. Like I could see images. I could hear words. And then I was, you know, like, I was just like, kind of like the messenger, kind of like the translator, whatever I was seeing and hearing, I would say. And, you know, by the way, when I listened to the recording after, I realized that when during this session, my English was not that good, which I was like, oh, that's surprising. Like, it's not like, it's like someone else is talking something else, you know, because like, you know, so it was very, very funny. And so, do you have a question from your clients concerning that this hypnotic state, when, you know, that, they realize that, you know, who is answering them, somebody else? Do you have these kind of, questions?
All the time. That's a huge question, because when people come back, they need to figure it out with their conscious mind, right? And so here's the idea. You have a conscious mind. The conscious mind is the filter that allows you to be analytical and make decisions. And it has to filter a bunch of stuff out. Otherwise, you would be open to all knowledge all the time and you wouldn't be able to do anything. So the conscious mind is essential for you to function on a daily basis as a human, basically. And to remind you, like, it's a good idea to, you know, pay your taxes. and so all of these time-based linear functions that allow you to be executive, to do things, have to come from the conscious mind, who makes decisions on a daily basis. And that mind filters and makes decisions and judges and analyzes all the time. And this is the one you're using all the time. The subconscious mind is that part that has the intuition, the deep-seated knowledge, all of the memory of everything that you've ever gone through, and it trying to give messages to the conscious mind going, it's better if we do this now. And the conscious mind doesn't always listen, but sometimes it does. And when you're in that state of alignment with the subconscious and you talk from the perspective of the subconscious and you come back to consciousness, the conscious mind goes, what was this? How do I interpret that? Where do I classify it? How do I judge it? Shall I take it into account? And oftentimes it feels threatened. It's like, is it going to take over? Wait a minute. My job is important. Don't get me out of the way. Why did you get me out of the way to access that deep-seated knowledge? The aim is to have like an alignment of the two, to bring them together and to work in harmony with both. We don't want to get rid of the conscious mind. We wouldn't be able to function. We want it to be informed by this deep wisdom. If it's already the case and there's already a big link, then people go like nothing happened. And if it's not at all the case and you've completely replaced the subconscious and you're very, very conscious mind oriented, then they don't even have access to it sometimes. It's very, very hard to get that part, you know, in the spotlight because you've basically been used to repressing it all the time, which is very true in our current society. Mm. Not so much in more traditional societies or in religious societies where people pray. People who actually have a religious practice, any belief in something other than the self, in something other than the conscious mind, that is easier to access, right? But what it comes down to is allowing yourself to trust and opening your mind to the possibility of what if it was that part of me that is wise? What if it was possible to access it? And let's go see with a curious, open mind. And when you access those elements, when you come back and your conscious mind is back online judging and deciding what's best for you, check if it feels good. Is there any advice that the subconscious gives you that didn't feel good? Probably not, because it has your highest good in mind. And so it's great that the conscious mind comes back and judges and analyzes, and we're going to ask it, all right, do you want to follow this advice? Does it feel good? Does it look like it's a good idea? Yes, then go for it. Why not? It's good for you and we need you. Stay, right? So it's all a juggling thing. So you have to see when the person comes back from this state or before they go in, actually. That is a conversation that is important to have for them to understand what's going on and for the conscious mind to go, okay, I can step to the side for just a minute and let the subconscious talk, but then I'm coming back.
Very good. Virginia, you know, you talk about the kind of clients that you have and, you know, like some people like coming with, you know, mental yeah. health issues. So as clients, we share so much with our health practitioners, and they say like the more you share, the more you give, the more you receive, because your practitioner is able to really help you. Yeah. So the practitioners, they support us, but who support them? And can you please tell us more about your practitioner support group?
Oh, yeah. So the QHHT family really is a family. It's I never thought it would be possible to join an organization that is so massive, because there's a lot of people in the QHHT community and feel like it's a family, but it feels like a family to a degree that I never felt like my own personal private family felt like it was a family. So not only is there the forum where you can go as a practitioner and ask any questions related to technique or support or help, or I had a really intense session, this happened, what do I do with it? So anything that's technique related, or how do I process the information that came through, or the way that this session worked, you go to the forum, you have amazing practitioners support you, not just the teachers and trainers, but also anybody from the community. And it's a very, very helpful community that's everybody who's in it basically wants to help, right? And have this value and this understanding of seeing the other person as a being of love and light who happens to be in a body. And so when you see each other that way, that changes everything. And then we have reunions where we meet each other, and that's like bathing in a sea of light and love. It's just, I'm actually a shy person when I don't have a hat on. If I have a teacher's hat or an actor's hat, I can be on stage. I can talk to thousands of people, no problem. If I'm just me at an event, even like my own 20 people wedding, I'll be a bit uncomfortable and not really know like who to be or how to act. That, I mean, that used to be the case, right? I went to the first QHHT reunion that I ever went to, and it was like, I can be me because I'm fully accepted. And I see that and I sense that and I feel that. And it was just such a homecoming in a way that was unbelievable. So if I have any downer whatsoever, I have so many people to call, so many people to contact, so many people to remind me of the light that's within. And that's really what it is about. It's just about reminding people, you are love, you are light. Sometimes it's a hard ride. You've got this, you know. Immeasurable support. I can't say enough about the QHHT family. It's just such a wonderful group of people.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like a wonderful group. Yeah,
it is. And anybody's welcome to the reunions, by the way. Anybody with a like-minded spirit who wants to open themselves to those types of issues, topics and vibes, and feel what it's like to be in a community where everybody looks at you like you are a star, you know, then you can join a reunion.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay, so we are reaching the end of the interview. I have one last question for you, and that is your daily practice. Can you tell us about it?
I check in. I check in with my higher self. It's first acknowledging that your higher self is there, your subconscious source, your big you, whatever you want to call it, your soul. And then I imagine that I breathe it in a way, like as though I was opening my chakra and just breathing in that energy of my higher self. And I recite Bashar's sentence. Bashar is channeled by Daryl Enka, and it's, I am that I am, and that is enough. And it's the Saint Germain I am as well. So there's both, we kind of go together. And so I get into that state of I am that I am, and that is enough. And I am that higher self incarnate. And I just breathe that in. And if I have a question, I'll ask a question. And if I don't, I'll just check in and be there in that state. And that is the single thing that I do every single day. I have other practices, but they're not daily.
Yeah. Okay. But this one is every day.
That every day, several times a day, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Just check in. And it's just a reminder, you know, back to self, which is interesting, because when you're back to self, you're back to all, because there is this notion that we are all one and that we're all individual shards of the same source, the same consciousness. So when you say back to self, it means back to all. So that's the idea. It's a very, very simple and yet very powerful.
Absolutely.
Daily thing that
absolutely. Thank you so much, Virginia. It was such a lovely conversation, and I can feel your enthusiasm and your passion. Thank you so much.
Following the joy.
You can learn more about Virginia on Facebook at Virginia Fumagalli, on YouTube at VLight, and on our website, virginiafumagalli.fr. If you didn't have time to write everything down, or if you have any doubts regarding the spelling, no worries. All the links are listed in the show notes. If you are curious about the Ujivati community, check out our website at ujivati.com. Thank you to all our listeners, and see you very soon for more healing, self-love, and your personal journey.
Thank you for listening and for taking time for yourself. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, share this episode with others on social media, or leave a rating and a review. To catch the latest from Ujivati, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter @Ujivati. Thanks again, and see you on the next episode.